happy moments, pal pal ki khushiyan. Today have with us Miss Mahek Dhingra. Mahek, welcome to the happy moments, pal pal ki khushiyan. Thank you very much for sparing your valuable time. Mahek is herself a type 1 diabetic. Besides a type 1 diabetic, she is a qualified diabetes educator. She has written multiple papers. She is one of the sought after speakers in the arena of diabetes. Mahek, it's a pleasure to have a person who is living with diabetes as well as helping others with diabetes.
Thank you so much. It's my honor to be here with you and share my story with your people.
Thank you, Mahek. Mahek, your confidence is very infectious. From where you get this?
So I think my life and everything changed because of type 1 diabetes. Dealing with type 1 diabetes showed that confidence and that gave me that courage to deal with everyday things, and that's how I think I got confidence. So I give a lot of credit to type 1 diabetes for all this.
That's very modest, but still, you are, what's your, you can say, experience with diabetes? How long?
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in 2007, and for 10 years I had a lot of mismanaged diabetes till 2017. 2017 onwards, my mentor told me that, Mahek, why don't you start reading about diabetes? And from there onwards, I started learning and reading about diabetes, and my journey changed. I started managing diabetes. I learned what were my loopholes, what I was doing wrong, and then I started helping others also who were on the same journey. And that's, I think, how I got confident that, okay, diabetes is a manageable thing.
Okay. When you were diagnosed, you were in which class in school?
Okay, I was in class 10th. Just 1 month before my class 10th board, I was diagnosed. I was diagnosed on 1st Feb 2007, and my boards were to start on 1st March 2007.
Means teenage.
Yeah, almost teenage. 15 years. Yeah. Right.
Mahek, what was the first response of yours? Teenage means 10th class student.
I agree.
How was the response of the family, mummy, papa, and family?
So my parents were actually shocked what has happened, because we never thought that a child can have type 1 diabetes. For me, I didn't have enough time to register what is happening with me, because I was more on that I have boards just ahead. So I had to take whatever it is and make sure I stay strong enough so that I can give my boards. A lot of time to understand what's happening.
Mahek, what about the school, your friends, your neighborhood, your classmates?
So school was very tricky, because it was just 1 month for class 10 board, and we went to school. I think that after 10 days we went to school to tell them what has happened, and my teacher said that, Mahek, I think it's time you drop your class 10. And my father was like, she has prepared for entire year, and now in the end you are asking her to drop it? No, I don't think I'll let her drop. My friends were very supportive. There was no judgment. Of course, there were colleagues who didn't know what has happened, and during my boards, a teacher used to come and always check, Mahek, I hope your sugars are okay, Mahek, they want something to eat. And those colleagues used to feel why she is getting special treatment, because they were not aware, they were not educated enough. So school definitely was not very positive initially, but later on they supported me for next 2 years. Friends have always been very supportive, very supportive.
Okay, so Mahek, now you are 17 years experience with diabetes. And now I will come to some straightforward questions related to our society.
Sure.
Because the age you are, something is called a marriageable age in India.
Right.
Now, marriage for type 1 diabetes is not something very easy, and our society is not very open. How is your take on that?
So I have two takes on this. First is, I was speaking in a conference where there were parents, and obviously this first question comes is, who will marry my child? So I asked all of them that, you have a non-diabetic child. Would you be comfortable marrying your non-diabetic child to a diabetic? And only two people raised their hand out of 200. So when we are not comfortable being from the community, how do we expect a person not from the community to be comfortable? Second perspective is the wonderful story of a girl who came to me and she said, my parents are after me to get married, and they are trying to find somebody who also has a disease so that they don't say no to me. And I requested this girl that, can you ask your parents to give us 1 year? For 1 year, what I did, I educated this girl on type 1 diabetes and empowered her. Her confidence raised. to the level that she was able to take her decisions. And now a non-diabetic saw her, and seeing her confidence, he agreed to marry her. Now this girl is married to a non-diabetic just because the way she had confidence towards managing diabetes, her partner was very comfortable marrying her.
Okay. Amit, now you are empowering others. But whom you give the credit of empowering Mehak Dhikra?
So my mentor, he's Lieutenant Colonel Amit Batra. He mentored me throughout my journey. He was the one who told me that, Mehak, if you have to take control of anything, you have to do it on your own. Nobody else will help you. And he was the one who helped me read my first book, because I'm from a law background, if you know.
Right.
So I didn't know how to read a book on science. And he is a retired army officer from a science background, MBA student. He helped me read my first book on diabetes. He used to actually mark the paras and say that, okay, read this, see it is relevant to you. And that is how I started learning and reading about diabetes. So he has a very huge credit in my life.
Oh, wonderful. And Mehak, because you are practicing as well, you have your appointments as well. How is your one day goes? Can you explain a bit?
My day is very hectic. But something I really love about my day is that I am able to balance out everything. So I start my day early. I freshen up and then I go for exercise. I spend 1.5 to 2 hours in exercise. Then I come back, I read for some time. I have to read something empowering because we deal with a lot of negativity every day. So I read something that is positive. And then from there onwards, 11 o'clock onwards, I start taking my client calls. The trickiest part about the client calls is my clients are also people who are staying abroad. Yes. So my calls end at 11 p.m. in the night because of the time zone difference. But in the end, the day is very satisfying.
Very good. And Mehak, something when you were in 10th class and now 17 years has passed, now you're a law person. Any time for besides regular yoga, can you explain a bit more that on sports, you say 1.5 hour on exercise.
Yeah.
What is that involved?
So, I am not somebody who can sit and do yoga, irrespective of being from India. Though people generally think an Indian is always doing yoga, but I love strength training. So I initially for 30 minutes, I do strength training where I do full body circuit, where I make sure all muscles of my body are moving. And after that, I go for a walk or a run for at least 3 to 5 kilometers.
So every day?
Every day.
Okay. Yeah. And because the age you were diagnosed, teenage and then again youth, and now the junk food is something very tempted. All mothers complain about it. Even you can say that obesity in teenage,
right.
Even PCOD is something very common.
Right.
And now you can say that even healthcare profession or society has accepted it
right.
As part of the thing. So, what advice a coach like you would like to give other teenage and young girls about health?
So, I'll tell you first a story. A mother came to me and she said, Mehak, I don't like to go out. I asked why. She said, because if we go out, the child will obviously ask for food outside, junk food, and I don't want to give up. So I said, instead of avoiding, why don't you train your child on managing sugars with eating junk food, so that when she grows out of you, she's eating, she knows how to manage it. See, change in culture and change that is happening in the environment, we cannot stop that.
Yes.
The only thing is accepting that change. So if anybody who likes to eat junk food, I would say restrict it to at least once a week.
Right.
And learn to manage your diabetes. Eating junk food and not managing is worse than not eating and not managing.
Right.
So that's my thing.
Okay, it means you are saying that restrict it, don't stop, because you cannot stop.
Yes.
How the ecosystem is.
Right.
Make one more personal question. Everybody wants to look beautiful.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And then, is there any challenge? Type 1 diabetic, and with the, you can say, beauty, or with going around with somebody, because everybody wants, this world wants to move around, wants to have some boyfriend, wants to have some girlfriend. So, does type 1 diabetic in any way, psychologically, or mentally, or physically, restrict this?
So I have a perception that somehow type 1 diabetes happens to beautiful people only.
Beautiful.
Either by heart or by face.
Wonderful.
So if you have type 1 diabetes, definitely it means you are beautiful. Good. And now going out, see, when we are going out with somebody, I would want that person to understand me and my diabetes. And not, like if somebody asked me out, and he doesn't know about my diabetes, I would simply say no. I would want somebody who knows me and my diabetes together and then going forward.
Okay. And Meg, as a professional, I'm asking you, because you have your own clients, Meg Dhigra is a brand standalone. Though there are many organizations in our country, every part, every city, but Meg Dhigra is an independent name. She is not associated to one particular foundation organization. So how come you made this brand of yourself?
I work with doctors and I love working with them. However, my motto was independence, diabetes, self-management should be there and we should be all independent. And I love working with doctors, but what I do is I don't want to sit at one clinic and work because I want to have different kind of experience. Now I have clients coming from US, I have clients coming from Saudi, I have clients from Kerala or Tamil Nadu. So now I'm having varied experience. I was earlier sitting at a clinic, I realized that my experience is very limited to particular kind of area as well as particular kind of people. Because if a doctor sits in, let's say, Ramesh Nagar, only people from Ramesh Nagar, max to max Rajouri Garden will come.
Right
now, since I'm doing it online, I'm getting varied experience and I'm growing. I know what problem people from South face, then what problem people from North face, what problem people from Jammu face. So I know all of these. That's why I decided that it has to be independent.
Okay. Meg, because you travel globally as well, you are the path of as a panelist, as speakers in many international congresses too. So what difference you take in knowledge of type 1 in our country as well as other parts of the world?
If I have to say knowledge wise, the knowledge is not bad in India.
Okay.
Knowledge is very good. The only problem is we don't have much researches happening in India. All the clinical trials are happening in abroad. So when we don't have much researchers, our doctors are unfortunately, they are hitting dead ends most of the time. So I would not say that they don't have knowledge. They have all the knowledge. In fact, I have very healthy intellectual conversation with a lot of doctors. And then they say our hands are tied with certain researchers because in India, a lot of companies don't want to invest in clinical trial and researches.
Okay. And Meg, now we are in 2024. And definitely things are changing, even in the field of diabetes as well, but still there is a huge gap. So what are the things as a collectively, government, healthcare professionals, industry, and especially independent educators, trainers, coach like you, can do to make the life of people with diabetes more happier, more better, and more smile can bring on their face?
So if I have to tell you, if I really want to make people happy, like you said, the happy moments we have to talk about. I think government, everybody together, doctors and the person suffering from diabetes, all of us have to come together and do one thing. Make sure that once a person is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, they go through education at that time. Not like me, I went through education after 10 years of suffering from diabetes mismanagement. I don't want that suffering to be there. I want teach management, and from there onwards the person is like, okay, I have type 1 diabetes and I can manage.
Beautiful.
So education has to be there.
Because Meg, your experience is so rich, we can talk to you for more and more, and I think one episode is not enough for that. But still, all good things has to come to an end. So my last question is, what message Meg Dhigra would like to give to other type 1 and especially their parents as well?
So this one message that is very close to my heart is, my diabetes doesn't define me, I define my diabetes. So never let your diabetes define you. Define your diabetes. It is just a part of your life, it's not your whole life.
Okay. And one more, if somebody does not have your resume, then how Meg Dhigra should be described as?
Unstoppable.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, Ms. Meg Dhigra, for being part of the Happy Moments. And we look forward that you continue to empower more people with diabetes. Our best wishes are with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.